Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Every home improvement show ratchets up the drama when, during the demolition phase, the person doing the renovation tears down some drywall and immediately covers their mouth and turns to the camera and says, "We've got mold." The next scene is the family hurriedly scampering out of the house with suitcases headed for a hotel in fear of their lives. But is mold really that bad? Are there different kinds of mold that present different dangers? How hard is it to eradicate it? And when do you know your house has mold in it? In the first place, we've assembled a panel of experts to talk about the spores among us and particularly about the mold our friend Irma left behind. Roy White is with Environmental Services Group in Florida, and he's been working in mold mitigation for several years. Roy, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much for inviting us, Julie.
We're also joined by Dr. Patrick Reedy. He's an ear, nose, and throat specialist in Estero who's here to talk about the problems that mold poses for people with asthma, allergies, and other breathing issues, and people that don't have any problems at all. Dr. Reedy, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Julie.
We're also talking with Diane Pisani. She's with the Home Watch. She's a Home Watch professional who also teaches others how to conduct thorough Home Watch services for people who either live here part-time or vacation a lot. Diane, always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Nice to be back, Julie.
We're talking about Irma's calling card, mold. Do you have a question for any of our experts? Give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag of GCL. So first, Roy, let's start with you. As a mold mitigator, how have things been lately? A little busy?
Extremely busy, Julie.
I imagine. What does an average job look like right now?
As far as length of time or what type of job or?
Well, I don't know. How many jobs do you usually have in a given month and what have you been doing in the last month?
Okay. We're working 6.5 days a week currently, long hours, and then processing paperwork at night. So.
Are there a lot of people out there that are just now realizing that they have a mold problem?
Yes. They're latent effects of mold sometimes, and it doesn't show up immediately. And a lot of people haven't noticed things until 3-4 weeks later even.
It takes a while to fester.
Sometimes. But, you know, when the water intrusions are heavy, it rears its ugly head quickly.
But sometimes, does it take a lot of water to make mold start?
No, it does not.
Yeah, so you may not have even noticed any water getting into your house.
That's correct, yes.
And does the mold need water to continue to grow, or is it just the humidity in the air that it uses?
Okay. There's two types of ways to feed mold, relative humidity-driven mold and then an actual water intrusion. So once a humidity goes above 55% in any given environment, that's enough moisture to cause the mold spores to then grow.
How long have you been working in mold?
About 15 years.
15 down here in Southwest Florida?
Yes, ma'am.
That's a really profitable business to select in Southwest Florida. It's a good place to have it.
It is, certainly. But mold is everywhere, not just Florida.
You know, I've heard that. So how much has your job changed over the decades? Has it been a change in practices, chemicals used?
Chemicals have really improved through the years. Used to have chemicals that had harmful side effects that would keep off-gassing for even up to a couple of years. Now we have a lot of green products. The best one on the market at this point we've been using for 2 or 3 years has the main ingredient of an herb, thyme, believe it or not.
Oh.
And that's very, very potent. And when you apply that product, 99.99% is dead within about 30 seconds.
Really? Is it an essential oil of thyme?
It is, yes.
Kind of like that?
Yes.
Wow, that's interesting. So when you're putting your drywall back up after you've done your mold mitigation, is it a good idea to put in some sprigs of dried thyme?
Hey, it's Thanksgiving. Put it in there.
I'll do it. I'll put it in my stuffing. I'll put it in my walls. How much has the public perception of mold changed over time?
Years ago, I mean, there was not that much education about it. Now people are getting more educated, and rightfully so, they should. There is so much to learn about mold, and there's been very few places to go to get education, but now that's opening up.
So, Diane Pisani, as a home watch professional, what does a home watcher look for after a storm like this to be sure that no water did get into a house?
It was kind of crazy after the storm, as you might well imagine. And those first couple days, because the storm happened on a Sunday, we were out first thing Monday morning. We were doing a bit of triage. So those were the homes that had windows that blew in and floods and everything. The tough part, especially when it came to mold, because knowing that it can grow within 72 hours, is we had no power, so there was no air conditioning. So we looked for the big stuff first, came back right after the electricity was on, and our biggest job was to get the humidity level down as quickly as humanly possible. So we want to keep the humidity all the time under 55%.
Mm-hmm. Which is tough to do in Florida.
It's not impossible. Just regulating temperature in general.
Yeah, but with no electricity.
Well, with no electricity, it was really tough.
That was not fun. Yeah,
and it was scary. And I love what you said about not being able to see it right away, because Irma just might be the gift that keeps on giving. So it's going to rear its ugly head for weeks and months ahead. A few weeks after the hurricane, some places that looked okay, we found water damage. It came in after a rainstorm several weeks later. So it's a heightened awareness time for all of us in Florida.
And people need to continue to be aware. Have you heard of any home watchers being able to identify a mold issue for homeowners when they were away? Like people that have been away and then you keep on going in and checking their homes. Have you found some mold issues?
Oh, you mean like between regular visits?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And one of the most important things a professional home watcher does is let their clients work with their perceptions. So mold can happen between visits. Maybe we're visiting every week or every couple weeks. And if the air conditioner malfunctions, it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. It happened to me a couple years ago. And I think Roy will agree there's almost never a little mold. So it was actually water damage. It came from an air conditioner that overflowed, soaked into the concrete floor, and just went all over the condo, soaked up the walls. And it was a very extensive remediation.
Yeah. So is mold like that, or that kind of damage, is that these kinds of things that you're looking for when you go into a house, is that something that might be missed by, a neighbor doing a favor kind of a situation?
No doubt about it. So it takes a trained eye. One of the first things we're going to look for, first thing we're going to do to avoid humidity-driven mold is to maintain the proper humidity. We make a comprehensive visit with our flashlight, and we're checking the ceilings, the walls, the baseboards. If a baseboard is pulled away even a little bit, that's a clear indication of water behind the wall.
The baseboard pulling away.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So our next step might be to check that with a moisture meter and call a professional right away. Many of our mold remediation companies will come out for an evaluation, oftentimes at no charge. A little bit harder to do in September and October, but it's getting a little bit better.
Yeah, it wasn't real.
Right, Roy?
It was not the quickest turnaround right after the hurricane. I mean, there was just so much damage in so many places. So I want to turn now to Dr. Patrick Reedy. Mold strikes fear in the hearts of many. Why are people so afraid of it? And should they be?
Not necessarily. There's a lot of overhype on mold. Some of the stories, even in some of the big media outlets, even in some of the popular TV shows, it's a lot of untruths.
I wondered if it was an HGTV like dramatic turn. I mean, obviously you got to take care of it in your house.
Yes. At a minimum, let's say there's a certain degree of hygiene. And so probably even if it's not making you sick, there's no reason to have yellow, green, black mold growing on your walls. But the truth is there are people who are susceptible, and those individuals can be very sick and have terrible flare-ups in the moldy seasons and especially after storms. Other people do not have those susceptibilities, and even when that mold proves to be the more concerning ones, the, quote, toxic molds, it's proven that they don't actually make people as sick as they think. If you don't have the susceptibilities, it tends not to be a problem.
So who is more susceptible, people with allergies and asthma?
Allergies and asthma, those two conditions being almost one and the same thing to some extent. But yes, those are your biggest people at risk. Not everybody who has allergies and not everybody who has allergies to molds is then necessarily terribly susceptible. But those who are very sick. Molds have a more complex way of working on the allergy pathways and the immune system of the body. Medicines do not respond, or molds do not respond as well to the average allergy medicines. It can be a very steroid-dependent problem. If you want to make people better, they unfortunately have to go on sometimes fairly decent doses of oral steroids and are stuck on them for quite a while until the mold situation improves, and then you can slowly taper them back off. But it is a much more significant allergy.
Mm-hmm. So if somebody does have a mold situation in their house and they are susceptible and they do have and I wanted to ask too before I get ahead of myself, what about COPD or people who have other types of respiratory issues that may not be allergy driven? Can mold make that worse?
Yes. So COPD is another one it's known to make worse. There are some people who have chronic infections in the lungs, and those MAC infections. Anybody with an underlying pulmonary issue will tend to have problems, be it just chronic smoking, emphysema. Next would be severely immunocompromised people can actually be at risk of developing severe infections from the mold. They would certainly be a more rare individual in society. But if you do have, significant cancer, a very weak immune system, or under the more serious immune compromised diseases, then you do need to be removed from the situation. It can make you very ill.
So you have to move out. Does everybody have to move out when there's mold in their house, do you think?
No, or just the people? No, not necessarily. And really, the people would know. So if you do not notice the symptoms, there's little chance that it's having some adverse, significantly adverse effect. You would typically know and be aware. And again, it just follows a pattern of you can't make them better with regular medicines. The steroids start to help. That's an individual who really has to pay attention to the environment. They need to pay attention to what they eat, because now that their environmental load is very high, molds in the foods they eat, even if it's just part of eating cheese, this and that can have a much more adverse effect. They have to be careful about everything.
Oh, those great French cheeses, right?
You got
all
it.
The moldy stuff on the outside. It's delicious. But so once the mold is removed from a situation, do people generally get better fairly quickly?
Yes. And a lot of the people who have been struggling now, those who, for instance, can't go on oral steroids are basically left with I'm sorry, the environment will improve and you will feel better. Unfortunately, there isn't a whole lot more consolation than that initially. And the environment is starting to clear. Those symptoms are starting to slowly improve. People's exams are starting to look better in general. And they will settle down and go back to their baseline.
Do you see a lot of people having problems with just environmental mold, just like out there, outside, not necessarily just from a house?
Correct. So we're in a unique situation in South Florida. We're a true tropical climate. Really, here in the Pacific Northwest are the only places that have very significant outdoor molds. Typically here, it's July. We start to see those patients in August. Again, they're the patients you can't make better by just upping the normal allergy meds. They will have a certain degree of steroid dependence on them. Their asthma symptoms tend to flare in their usual regimen, even higher doses of inhalers no longer helping. This year, it really, again, not only went through September, but even in October, and that's courtesy of Harvey and then Irma.
Yeah, and then that rain event that we had a couple weeks before Irma, that was also that dropped.
Correct.
A lot,
that's
right?
When it really started, and then Irma was the
That was the
last straw there for people.
Last left hook.
Correct.
So Roy Wright with Environmental Services Group in Florida, I wanted to ask you. So what has to happen in order to get mold out of a house?
Okay. First of all, you want to identify what molds are there, what the counts are, and then a typical procedure would be if it's localized, you would put a containment up, use a HEPA air scrubber in there, HEPA vacuum, and then treat that area with an antimicrobial.
Mm-hmm. We had a question come in from Josiah in Naples. He called. He couldn't stay on the phone to ask this question, but he said that he found black mold on the exterior of his refrigerator after Irma. He said he cleaned it since, but wonders if he needs to throw out his refrigerator entirely or where that could be coming from.
No, that wouldn't be necessary to get rid of the refrigerator. Number one, let's clear up probably the biggest myth about mold.
Okay.
Bleach, common household bleach, does not kill mold. Please, people, don't use household bleach. It will not kill it. It'll change the color of it, and in about 2 weeks, it'll come back with a vengeance.
What about Tilex mold and mildew? That one's strong.
It's strong, but you have to remember what chemicals are in there. What are you breathing?
Yeah.
If you have infants, you have elderly people in there, so those fumes are toxic.
Oh, I know. I've done my shower with the Tilex,
okay.
And I just about passed out.
And that's not a good thing.
Yeah, that's some really strong stuff, but that's not going to be enough to get the mold out of your house.
That's correct. But on his refrigerator, I mean, that's an unusual thing unless there's a gasket leaking or there's actually food there that he hasn't cleaned off. And, I mean, that's a natural breeding place for mold as well. But he needs to use the right product.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So do you always have to take out the drywall and replace the drywall?
If the mold has penetrated the paper of the drywall, you have to remove it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with surface mold, that can be HEPA vacuumed and damp wiped with an antimicrobial, and that takes care of it.
So there's a legendary mold that's been given the dubious title of toxic black mold. Is it really that toxic?
Are you referring to Stachybotrys, Shatarm?
Sure. I'll go ahead and say
Okay. All right. Stachy for short. I mean, it wears Stachy. The moniker of the most lethal mold. And, you know, they found out actually in the city of Cleveland's where they first discovered the effects of it. It causes the lungs to bleed on the inside. So it is a toxic mold. And one thing about that, when you're air testing for mold, rarely does it become airborne. We've had our instruments within a foot or two of a wall full of it. It wouldn't even show up. But you touch that wall, then it becomes airborne quickly.
Oh, you got to kind of scrape it off there.
Well, when we test, we either use a swab or tape lift to test that.
So this might be the high drama HGTV mold that they talk about when everybody has to go to the hotel.
That's right.
Is that one that shows up in a generalized situation like we're in right now? Like, are you seeing much of that after Hurricane Irma?
That particular species of mold is prevalent when something has been wet for 2 or 3 weeks. That it's continuously wet, that's when stachy starts to rear its ugly head.
Okay. And do you see a lot of that? I mean, I guess that would be like in a flood situation where the water stays there for a couple of weeks.
Yes. Most all of those have stachy there. But a lot of those are demoed as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So, okay. Well, that's, I guess, sort of comforting because the water that hit us with Hurricane Irma kind of came and went really fast. So you're saying that you have to have water standing for a couple weeks.
Yes. It has to stay wet for a few weeks for that to form.
Fully saturated.
Yes. And then you've got – well, it doesn't have to be fully saturated. As long as it's damp for a few weeks, then that will start to develop.
Ugh, that's a bad one. All right. Ugh, I guess it really is toxic. So, Dr. Reedy, have you seen many people at all coming in with anything along those lines that have inhaled any kind of toxic situation?
No. The truth is really most of the stachy-related medical problems have been disproven and are not thought to have huge effects on health.
Oh, really?
For some reason that people don't understand, which is beneficial to us, the inhalant molds, for some reason, when they release the mycotoxins, which is what you call the so-called toxic aspects of the molds, the inhalant mycotoxins do not seem to have much of a profound clinical effect. The cases in Cleveland he's referring to were actually restudied and found not to have been caused by the mold itself and were other environmental factors. In those cases, that's where it got its biggest name, was cases in these Cleveland incidents in the 90s. Most of those have been disproven. In foods, interestingly enough, the reason you do not eat moldy food is those mycotoxins have, which are known as the aflatoxins, profound effects on your system when taken. But the inhalant molds, even the stachy, the so-called toxic molds, are not shown to have those clinical effects. If you are not susceptible to them because of allergies, other susceptibilities, immunocompromised situation, they tend to simply not make you sick. And when they looked after Katrina, interestingly enough, even a decade out so far, those places that were high in these concentrations did not have an increased risk of sick people relative to those who didn't, unless those people had allergies or other problems, asthma.
Mm-hmm. So there were other environmental factors that kind of worked in concert with in those studies
yes,
in Cleveland?
Yes, correct, because if you figure you're living in a place that has that, there may be other things. If you similarly go behind the walls, you'll find cockroaches, places littered with huge concentrations of dust mites. And again, possibly, as she was saying, bad concrete, bad foundations, constant dampness. So constant dampness is actually a greater risk factor for being sick than whether or not there's any mold present. Just the nature of a constant dampness will make you sick.
Really? Why
yes.
is that?
Nobody knows exactly, but it can show profound clinical effects from just increased dampness, regardless if any molds are present or not.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yes.
But they don't know exactly why. But
no,
that's...
and similarly, following events like this, if you have good ventilation, good airflow, larger crawl space, these things are all known to significantly reduce your risks of developing these molds or having then problems or flare-ups, upper respiratory, lower respiratory, or asthma-wise.
Well, either way, if I did have this stachy in my house, I would definitely not want it to stick around.
Correct. As I said, there's definitely the decorum of just hygiene. And so, yes, you wouldn't want any of this out, regardless if you knew it wasn't going to cause you any problems.
Yeah. Just I don't want to take any chances.
Correct.
At all.
Correct.
Diane Pisani, is there some sort of baseline that a home watch professional can get to see what the humidity level and mold situation is in a house, just to know if anything does change on their watch? You know, so you have a new client. Can you go in there and kind of get like an assessment of what you're dealing with before you're then watching it? And then like a month or so later, they come to you and say, oh, look, I got all this mold. You should have seen this.
Well, there's absolutely ways to do a baseline. And the first visit that we make when we bring on a new client is phenomenally important. And one of the things that we do is make sure that the thermostat is set correctly.
Where does it need to be set?
Well, first of all, and Roy and I had this conversation a little bit earlier, you're able to turn the fan in the on position or the auto position. If you turn it to the on position, you're just circulating damp, humid air, and that can cause a humidity bloom or mold right there. Roy, share the story, Roy. That was perfect.
When the fan is in the on position, that's with it creating all this moisture. I mean, we have a saying around our office, that's the source of our retirement. So that's how critical it is. You cannot leave that fan in the on position.
So if somebody leaves, for instance, and they don't have a home watch professional, they may leave in June and come back in October. If they put that fan to the on position, they very likely will come home to a place that's destroyed. So number one, we're going to make sure the thermostat is set correctly. A good home watch professional will check and record the humidity level on every single visit. So we keep it under 55%. And in general, keeping the thermostat between 76 to 78 will accomplish that. And then look for the visual signs of mold. I love what both gentlemen brought up because we want to teach people not to underreact and not to overreact.
Correct.
So a home watch professional's job is to find something irregular in the early stages before damage becomes disaster and know what kind of professional to call out for further evaluation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to ask Dr. Reedy, what do you suggest people do if they find that they have some sort of mold in their house? Is it something that you can live with for a little bit? Because right now you kind of have to because the mold mitigation people are a little busy.
Sure. No, one of the first things we preach is when you have a mold-sensitive person, especially right now, you have to look around the house. Regardless if an Irma has happened or not, the usual will be you have to look around your house. While certainly in Florida at this time of year, they are environmental, it's usually the house and workplace that are your biggest enemies when it comes to mold. So you have to search the house. Search the office space, and then people, when we know the environmental molds are gone, then they have to get somebody in to look if they can't find it. But
yeah.
It has to be fixed, otherwise they'll keep feeling sick all year round.
Yeah. And Roy, I wanted to ask you, if mold is found in the home, or if you say, hey, it looks like my baseboard's kind of coming away from the wall, can I get a mold guy out here to take a look at it? And they come out and look at it and say, yeah, you do, but we can't get out here to do your mitigation for a couple weeks. What is your suggestion? I mean, how is that stuff going to spread in those 2 weeks?
Well, generally, I mean, as long as it's damp, it's going to spread. As long as there's a moisture source, it will continue to grow. In those situations, I mean, you identify what's there, but you have to have at least a minimum of an air test to find out if there's something going on in the environment that they're breathing. Just because the baseboards pull back doesn't necessarily mean there's a mold issue that they're breathing. Okay, so The mold is there more than likely, but it's what they're breathing. So the simple air test will tell you that. And then the next thing, ventilate your place as often as you can. I mean, when the humidity now is going down, so open the doors, windows, ventilate the home, get a fresh air exchange in there as much as you can, and then close it back up, turn the AC back on.
Well, there's also the concern about I've heard it, anecdotally on TV shows and home improvement shows. You can tell what I watch when I'm not here working. But they tend to always talk about mold getting into the ventilation system. Is that a situation that actually happens? Does that really happen that where you get mold into the HVAC?
It happens frequently. In fact, all of the jobs that we do, the sanitization of the HVAC system is a standard part of that.
How do you do that?
Well, there's different ways. Number one, if there's been enough debris in the ducts, then the ducts have to be cleaned. The air handler has to be cleaned. We use the product called Benefec Decon 30 that's fogged into the ducts, and that kills mold immediately. And it's fogged through the air handler and then backfed through the cold air supplies as well. So that's one of the ways to treat that.
So if somebody has mold, moldy drywall and some baseboards that had a problem, you say that it's a good idea for someone to do something with their air system regardless?
Oh, absolutely. Remember this. The AC is the lungs of your environment. That and having good filtration. And most people do not have good filtration. They buy the cheapest filters possible, don't change them often enough, and that causes filter blow-by, which precipitates mold.
Yep. That is one place in which I definitely splurge, having been an allergy sufferer all my life. So, Diane, tell me again, before we run out of time here, what is the ideal setting for an air conditioning unit to ensure humidity does not get out of control in a home when people are away?
Well, it's not the heat, it's the humidity. So you want to use a hygrometer to go ahead and check the humidity level, and you can buy one. You can buy a humidity reader at the Home Depot or the office – Home Depot or Lowe's, and keep it below 55%. In general, 76 to 78 does that. So what's very, very important is for our hurricane folks that are coming back, I would like to encourage them to consider having their home get a post-hurricane inspection, even have an air quality test, because they should be concerned about things that can show up after the storm. And with any kind of service provider that you're going to bring on board, we encourage vetting. And I call it the rule of three. Interview at least three different service providers, check their credentials, and hire whoever you click with the best or whoever you have the most confidence in.
Mm-hmm. And Dr. Reedy, I wanted to get back to that humidity for a second. Anyone who's ever had a sinus moment knows that super dry air is not really fun to dry
right.
to breathe either. Easy, it's kind of tough on you to
Correct.
Get it too dry.
Correct.
So, where for breathing and comfort and personal health. Where's the best humidity level? You don't want it to be too humid either.
No, but it's difficult, not to mention you do foster some other allergens when it's too dry. So there is a happy medium. Now, what we do to counteract that is just have people use some saline every day, the simple saline sprays you find while you're brushing your teeth with one hand, squirt a shot of saline each nostril, and that will usually make the difference of keeping you moist, making your breathing better, reducing allergens, reducing infections, and allowing you to keep your humidity set lower to avoid a mold growing in your living space.
Which is really critical in Florida, isn't
Correct.
It?
Correct.
All right. Well, I want to thank all of you for coming in and talking with me today. I really appreciate it. This has been a very informative half hour. I've really wanted to do this for a while, ever since Irma hit. So thank you, Dr. Patrick Reedy. I appreciate your health insights. And
thanks,
also,
Julie.
Roy, thanks so much for coming in and talking with us. And Diane,
thank you, Julie.
I really appreciate the pointers on keeping that house dry enough and just cool enough to not have
just
have
right.
mold.
Thanks,
yeah,
Julie.
The Goldilocks thing. Our show today was produced by Rachel Iacovone, John Davis, and yours truly. Our director is Richard Chin Kui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers, 90.1. WMKO Marco Island, 91.7 FM. NPR for Southwest Florida.